Well, hey there, Mama, and welcome back to the Moms Overcoming Overwhelm podcast, episode 116. I'm Emily McDermott, and I'm here beside you on this journey as we work together to declutter your home, head, and heart. Well, if your closet is overflowing with clothes that still have the tags on, if shopping is overwhelming for you like it is for me because of the amount of choice, or maybe you struggle with impulse purchases, just buying things on sale, not necessarily because they look the best on you, today's episode is for you. I am speaking to Jeannie Sith. She is the founder and CEO of Color Guru, and I have spoken about Color Guru on the show before. I had my color analysis done. And it has been a game changer for me, both for decluttering my clothing and then also for when I go shopping for new clothing. And in today's episode, I talked to Jeannie a little bit about how her company came to be, also about why decision fatigue is such an issue for moms, how color analysis can even work for your kids, and much more. So Jeannie, like I said, is the CEO of Color Guru, and Color Guru analyzes your hair, skin, and eye color to match you with your ideal color palette for clothing so that you can look beautiful and feel confident in your clothes, shop more simply, and create a coordinated wardrobe. And her color analysis services and color cards have simplified choosing clothes for people in 49 countries and counting, like I said, including me. So what do you say? Grab that notebook and pen and let's dive into today's conversation with Jeannie Sith. Hey there, Mama. Are you tired of all the stuff crowding your home, calendar, and mind? Do you wish you could say goodbye to the endless to-do list running around in your head? Want to declutter but don't know where to start? You're in the right place. Welcome to Moms Overcoming Overwhelm, where you will find proven and practical solutions to declutter your home, head, and heart. Hi, I'm Emily, a wife, boy mom, and simplicity seeker. I struggled to get pregnant and felt overwhelmed until I discovered decluttering could create the physical and emotional space I needed to become a mom. Now, two kids later, I've transformed my life and motherhood by developing simple systems around decluttering, capsule wardrobes, kid stuff, cleaning and tidying, meal planning, time management, and more, and I can't wait to share them with you. If you're ready to reclaim the time and energy you crave, be present with your kids, and finally enjoy the life and motherhood you so deserve, let's kick overwhelm to the curb, shall we? Grab your lukewarm coffee, your notebook and pen, and clear off some counter space. Let's do this. Well, hi, Jeannie. Thank you so much for coming on the Moms Overcoming Overwhelm podcast. I am really excited to talk to you today.
Hi, Emily. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me. This is great.
Yeah. So I've already been talking about you and your company. I actually did a color analysis in the summer of 2022. It has been extremely helpful for me. I really do not like shopping. Maybe that makes me a good minimalist. I don't know. But when I actually do need to go shopping, I come armed with my color card and the very nice salespeople will be like, oh, do you need any help? I'm like, no, I'm good. You know, got my card with me. So I'm just really excited to talk about you and what you do and like how what you do helps simplify our lives, because as overwhelmed moms, we need all the help we can get in that department. So I would love it if you could introduce yourself and tell us about you and your family, how you serve women. And then also when you're not doing all of those things, if there's anything you'd like to do just for you.
Oh yeah. So I'm so excited you're using your color card. And okay, I will give you a quick introduction. So my name is Jeannie Sith. I started Color Guru, which is my company, about, we're almost 10 years old at this point. And I started it, well, just to start, I will say that Color Guru, what we do is we analyze our customers' hair, skin, and eye color to match them with their ideal color palette for clothes, so that you can look better in everything you wear, shop more simply, and create a wardrobe that easily coordinates. And so I started Color Guru because really happened was my aunt told me I was buying all the wrong colors for myself. And I was like, I didn't even know there were right colors. What are you even talking about? She's like, no, I want you to get your colors done. This is the best thing ever. It's like life changing. And so we looked and looked for someone to do my colors, and we couldn't find anyone. This is like 20 years ago. I live in the Philadelphia area, and we couldn't find anyone. And I was like, okay, well, whatever. I kind of forgot about it. And then randomly, like a year later, I heard about a woman who was a retired image consultant, and she was still doing color consultations out of her home, like in the suburbs of Philly. So I went to her, had my consultation, and she gave me a color palette that was ideal for me. But I will say it was a bit dated, like the colors on the car, like some of them I couldn't really find in stores. I felt like these, a lot of these colors are kind of left over from the 80s. And it was an old system. And, but still, even though that was the case, it transformed my wardrobe over the course of the following year, because I had always had a problem with my clothes. Now, I am kind of a minimalist too. So like I had really done a great job with the rest of my house. I had really pared down. I had kind of gotten very, you know, just, I had gotten very disciplined about not bringing a lot in. But my closet was the place where I had none of that. I mean, I had clothes coming out of the drawers. I didn't have enough hangers for my clothes. So I remember dreading laundry day, because I was like, I'm going to end up with a pile on my floor, and I'm going to leave a lot of the stuff in the basket because I don't even have enough hangers to put them in my closet. I don't have enough room in my drawers. And how is it that I still can't come up with an outfit I like? You know what I mean? Because I really did think at that point, I'm like, this has got to be a numbers problem, right? Like if I just get more, I will have to end up with some things that go together that I like, but it wasn't happening. And part of the reason was there was just too much that I couldn't even see what I had. So anyway, when I got that first color consultation, I weeded out my closet in a big way. I basically got rid of almost everything that wasn't in my colors. I just started wearing my colors. And it just solved the issues in my wardrobe. When I would go shopping, I'd be like, I'm only going to buy my best colors. I mean, now that I can see, these colors do look really good on me. Why would I want to wear other things, right? So it immediately gave me boundaries for shopping that I had none of prior to that. I was just impulse buying, really, when it came to clothes. You know, I was like buying something. And then like 2 weeks later, sometimes I'd be like, I don't like this anymore. Did I like this at the store? Because I'm putting it on at home now and I don't like it. Like, what is that about? And then I feel guilty. I'm like, I wasted that time. I wasted this money. Do I have to now take it back? That's like more time. It just was such a headache. Once I got my colors, I just started bringing in things that were my colors. And then I was noticing I looked better in everything I wore. I felt like my skin looked nicer. I felt like my hair, my eyes like looked nicer. I was like, this is amazing. And then the bonus I never expected, but that came in time as I sort of transitioned my closet into more and more of my colors, was that everything started to work together. So if I pulled out a pair of pants, I had multiple tops that matched it. I had jewelry that matched it. I had, you know, a coat. I had a bag. Everything matched everything. Shoes, because if everything's in your color palette, everything goes together. And so I literally created the company because it helped me so much. And I also saw that the service just wasn't being offered anymore. It had sort of fallen out of trend. And I'm like, how did this fall out of trend? This is so helpful in so many ways. So that's kind of the quick story of how Color Guru started.
Wow, that's really amazing. I think that there is sort of this perception. Anytime I tell someone, oh, I got my colors done, they immediately look back to like the 80s and they're like, oh, okay. I'm like, no, no, no.
Yeah.
It's so much better than that, I promise. And I mean, I'm 43, so I was like born in 1980 and I have like vague recollections of hearing about that. But I think that what I love is just sort of the nuance. And I was reviewing my report. It's like this 15-page report with like everything you could ever want to know about what looks good on you and what doesn't and why. I'm like, this is so fantastic, because for me, like you said, the boundaries, I love being able to go into a store where I know that the style of clothing fits me. So at least I have that figured out. But then just be able to see, like, it's literally like, I can just look at the store and go, oh, okay, there's one, there's one, there's one. And it just makes it so much easier, because as overwhelmed moms, and I'm not really an online shopping person, but if you are like an in-store, okay, I need to get this done in like less than an hour because my kid's getting up from a nap, or like I promised my husband I would be home. You really have to be focused, you know, with the shopping. So I just really appreciate that you went with, like you said, what helped you and saw that gap in the need and the marketplace, especially I know for moms that they go into that full closet with quote unquote nothing to wear, right?
I really was that statistic. I was wearing 20% of my closet at the time, before I had my colors done. And now I wear probably 90% of my closet. I still make the occasional, like, you know, purchase where I'm like, I don't know how to wear this thing. You know, it's not perfect, but it's so much better. And I love what you said about, like, just going into the store and, like, looking for colors, because I also discovered very quickly, I'm very into efficiency as well. Like, I want the things in my life that I don't sort of deeply care about to be very efficient, right? And people always think like, oh, you own this, you know, company that's all about clothes and you must be so into fashion. I am not at all into fashion. Like, I am into how quick and easy can I make this and still look good? You know what I mean? That's the combination I want. I was like, I want to look good and I want it to be fast and easy. And what I learned was when you go into a store with your color card, the only thing that you can scan for easily is color. So I always tell, you know, our customers, shop color first, because it's the only thing you can go into store and quickly scan for. The other two parts of dressing, you know, it's not just about color, but like you said, it's about style, your personal style, and then your body shape. So like, I know that I look good in a fit and flare dress and I can't wear a shift dress to save my life because my body's too curvy for it, for example. So like, but if I were to try to shop by shape first or style first, I would have to like list up every garment and assess it. Whereas you can just, I avoid whole racks of like shades that don't look good on me. I just don't even touch them ever. I just scan for my colors and then I look at it and go, is this a shape that's going to look okay on my body type? Are the pants short enough? Because I'm very petite. You know, is this a style that I like? And then everything I take into the dressing room color wise is like already a done deal.
Yes, I have done the same and I appreciate it so much. And just kind of, and we're going to be talking about decision fatigue in a little bit here, but just sort of lessening that decision fatigue. So it's like one less thing that we have to figure out. And I was just curious, I know that you're a mom of two girls and obviously the wardrobe aspect of this and what you do for your job that has helped streamline that part of things. But was there any particular time, either you, maybe it was at the beginning of your motherhood or recently, where it was kind of like this overwhelm of maybe probably not too much stuff for you if you were naturally paring down, but maybe it was routines or some other area where you were like, oh my gosh, this is like super overwhelming and complicated. And I need to, like you said, be more efficient and kind of make things simpler. And can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. I feel like when I became a mom, so much became overwhelming. And I feel like one of the things that was big for me was like the mornings. When my kids got a little bit older, getting ready for school in the morning. And I felt like every morning was just felt kind of stressful. And it just wasn't the way I wanted to start the day. You know, one of my older kids, my older daughter has ADD, so it was like hard to sort of keep her on task because she was getting distracted very easily. Like I tell her to go put on her shoes and she'd get distracted by like tons of things on the way to her shoes, you know? And so I was like, we just need a better way. And the best thing I ever did, and it's so simple, but like I made them checklists for the morning, like a dry erase checklist. Like I basically printed out a paper and put checklists like, put on your shoes, you know, brush your hair, brush your teeth, you know, get yourself some breakfast, you know, all the things that they needed to do. And then I laminated it and I gave them like dry erase markers. And let me tell you, they loved checking those boxes. Like, and then there was a big box at the bottom that they got to check when it was all done. And it said, great job. You did it all. You're ready to go to school or something, you know, something like that. And my older daughter, she has a kind of a challenging time with hearing directions, but if she can see it on paper, it's like a totally different thing for her. And she said to me the one morning, I could feel her relief. I didn't realize they were as stressed out as I was about it, you know, because I felt like I was nagging them all morning, like do this, do that, you know, and I just hated that role. And she said to me, she's like, Mom, this is like the best thing you've ever done. I know, it's transferred our morning. And now they're 8 and 10. They literally do everything themselves to get ready for school. I don't do one thing. They they just have gotten used to doing it. Like they make their own breakfast. They pack their own lunches every day. Like they do everything. And I get up and I walk the dog, and I do like things I want to do. And it's just wonderful. And that has been massive transformation and just such a simple little hack, you know?
Yeah, I love that. It's so funny. So my kids are a little behind you. They're 5 and 7. Similarly, my 5-year-old gets very distracted. And I write poems. It's kind of one of the side things I do. And I made this little song. So I'm going to sing a little song for everyone, and then we're going to get into decision fatigue and all that fun stuff. 7:15, time to do your routine, time to get dressed. Aren't we impressed? Make your bed, comb the hair on your head. That's just part of it.
Love that. That's
So
amazing.
then when it's 7:15, I'm like, Sean, it's 7:15, time to do your routine. And it's kind of like this fun little thing. And he thinks it's fun and he knows the song now. So we'll sing the song as we're doing the routine, which is that same kind of like dopamine rush as like being able to check it off. And then I love that, like, great job, you're ready for school. And so we kind of do that similarly, but and it's great when they actually get excited and can stay focused, especially for those kiddos that struggle with that. So that is so incredibly helpful. Thank you. We're always big fans of checklists, and I use my dry erase sleeve a ton for
Yes.
my kids. So I love that.
Yeah. I have to tell you, I also started creating checklists. Once I saw how well that works, I started creating checklists for cleanup. And what I did was I would write them a checklist. I would look around the house and see what needed to be cleaned up. I'd make them a checklist. And then at the bottom, I would say, find one more thing that needs to be cleaned up. So it would be sort of a, it would like bonus. I was like, bonus, find a thing that you think needs to be cleaned up and then fill it in. And then over time, I gave them less and less things and had them find more and more things on their own. And now they don't even need the list. Like they're used to looking around to seeing what needs to be cleaned up. And I also played that cleanup song from Enchanted. Is that the movie? There's a cleanup song in this movie, Enchanted, and it's like the cutest song because she's cleaning this entire like mansion of a house. And I started playing that song, and my girls now, it's cleanup time is much easier.
Well, you know, if the business, if you ever decide to retire from the business, you can go on Etsy and make checklists for malls. That can be
Totally.
your second calling. Well, thank you for sharing that. I love that. I'm all things like checklists and hacks and stuff. So I know that all the overwhelmed moms, I always tell them to bring their notebook and pen. So if they're not driving, so writing everything down. And I would love to talk a little bit more now about your sweet spot, which is helping us lessen our decision fatigue. And I know that there's a lot of different statistics, but the one I have found is that we make 35,000 decisions a day. I always say it's more for parents because we're making decisions on behalf of our children, especially depending on their age. And I was just curious, you know, it just in the work you do and just in your own life, why do you think that decision fatigue is such a huge issue for moms, and especially maybe, in my opinion, in this generation, as opposed to I think of my grandmother and like the choices and decisions that they were making and sort of the inputs were very different in making decisions. So how do you see decision fatigue being a huge issue for moms right now?
Yeah, I love that. I love that question. I think with the being in the age of the internet, that's like the number one thing because we have so much available to us. So we are constantly having to choose like whether to engage or not, whether it's with an app, whether it's, on social media, like where to engage, how much to engage. And I think that that creates and then you add in the fact that our phones are like totally addictive, right? Like they just are. And so you add that all together and it's just a recipe for like a million decisions. Unless you're completely staying offline, which is really kind of impossible. Like I took my girls the other day to a zoo when we were traveling and we wanted to like rent this little scooter because it was like a massive zoo and my feet had hurt because we were on vacation and been walking a lot the day before and you couldn't rent the scooter without an app. You know what I mean? You had to download the app and then you pay through the app and like do everything through the app. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you can't just like disengage from your phone. You can't live anymore that way. So There's that. And then I think also just, I think a lot of our decision fatigue comes with like what to purchase. And going into a store is so different than it used to be. Going into a clothing store, going into a grocery store, so different than it used to be. And if you've ever read, there's that great book, it's called The Paradox of Choice. I love that book. That book is so fantastic. And it talks about how with all these choices, we are less happy in the end with what we choose because we're questioning all the time, like in the back of our heads, did we make the right choice about that? And so I think about my grandmother who's 97 now, she's still alive, and she talks about like she was an immigrant and she said, for Christmas when I was five, like I got an orange and that was like a really big deal, And so in some ways, like we probably most of the people listening to this podcast are extremely lucky because we can have so much, but it doesn't make us happy. You know what I mean? It's like we are extremely, there is so much available to us, but it doesn't equal happiness. And I think our culture also tells us that it equals happiness. Like the more you have access to, or the more money you have to sort of get things, the happier you'll be. And it's just not true. In fact, sometimes it makes it harder in a way. And I love hearing just stories about people who pared down and really feel like they are more content now. You know what I mean? And I'm one of them. I mean, I really feel like as I get rid of more and more stuff and like choose to live more simply, there is something so satisfying about it. There's something so satisfying about fixing something that you have, like even just putting a button back on a shirt, like I find incredibly satisfying. Like, oh, I'm not getting rid of that shirt, I'm like fixing it, And I feel like that just used to be a normal part of life. Like my grandmother never would have imagined throwing away a shirt because it lost a button. She would have replaced the button, sewed the button back on, whatever. But we are so like disposable in our culture. Like everything is so disposable. So I feel like I went on a bit of a tangent and lost track of
No,
the question, but
no, you're fine.
that's what comes up for me. And when you think about like I remember seeing just recently a statistic that was like, in 1950, women had like something like five outfits in their
Yes.
closet, right? And now we just, I mean, almost every woman I know has an issue with her clothes, like in terms of like volume, right? Because shopping is, for a lot of people, it's a hobby. It's not so much like a necessity. It's not a necessity. We all could live in the clothes we have for like the next 10 years, really. But it has become sort of a hobby in our culture. And it's just, it's tough to get away from. But I think for me, kind of coming back to really the what I see as being part of the solution for me has been intentionally limiting my options. Like I remember when my mom, when I was little, would take us to the grocery store and she'd be like, you can pick any cereal that has like under 8 grams of sugar. And we had to look at the side of the box and like see which one. And it narrowed it down to like four choices. Like we could have Cheerios, we could have Rice Krispies, we could have like, whatever it was, the other all bran or whatever, whatever. But I like to do that now as sort of a game for myself. Like, how can I like pare down for myself intentionally so that I don't have a million choices? Like, what am I deciding is my criteria for what I bring into my life?
Yeah, that's so true. And the book that you reference, Paradox of Choice, I talk a lot about that concept of choice overload, that at a certain point we want choices. Like if we went to a restaurant and they're like, you get hamburgers or hot dogs, you're like, oh. But then you go to the Cheesecake Factory and it's like a novel. And it's like, yeah, it's like,
Actually,
wait a
we saw
minute.
that.
I'm like, wait, there's 50 cheesecakes and like I never, it's gonna take me an hour to get through this menu. And then you get that sort of anxiety of like, oh, maybe I made the wrong choice and I should have gotten the chocolate peanut butter cheesecake instead of the chocolate chip or whatever. And I agree. I mean, my grandmother has passed, but she grew up, in depression. She passed away at 102. Excellent seamstress, like never wasted anything. And also, I think besides you were mentioning the number of outfits that women only shopped maybe like 2 to 4 times a year. It would be like when the seasons changed, that's when you would, look through and be like, oh, okay, I need something else. And so I feel like that has really changed with our generation too, that is just like, oh, we just kind of shop whenever. But I feel like the intentional being able with what you do with the colors, and then kind of having more of that like replacement mentality, like, okay, well, if I'm unable to mend something, then the next time I go out, then I'm going to maybe get something in my color. Cause I know you're not advocating everyone just like grab your color card and let's go on a shopping spree.
That's right. Yeah. No way. I always think like when people get their colors, what I recommend is that they go through their wardrobe and they get rid of things that they never really wore or liked that much anyway. And now they see that they're also not on their color card. But if people have things that they love and that aren't colors on their color card, I always recommend they keep them, because what happens is over time, they sort of naturally fall away, you know? Mm-hmm. And we don't want to be wasteful. And there are ways to work with things that aren't on your color card too. Like if you have, you know, on some people's cards, like gray is not on their color card, but if you have a gray top that you really love the way it fits you, it's like, well, why not wear a scarf in one of your colors? You know what I mean? And work with that thing until you actually need or want a replacement down the road, you know?
Yeah, no, I love that. And I know that you do, you were talking a little bit about sort of how color analysis works. But I want to let the mamas out there know that you also do this for kids to help them with their decision fatigue and to help them, you know, I mean, I have boys, so I just kind of like throw them in the random track suit, whatever that they have. But can you just talk briefly about like how you do this for kids and how maybe that can help them with their decision fatigue as far as them getting dressed in the morning?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I just remember when my girls were little and we just got tons of clothes. Like we got tons of hand-me-down bags for a long time. Not so much anymore, but for a long time, we would get like garbage bags full of clothes. And it was so tough because I felt like, you know, none of it really went together. It just was all like random one-offs. And then my kids would have decision fatigue about like what's put on. And I have one, my younger daughter's very sort of like, she's very into her outfit looking a certain way. You know, she's particular about clothing. She always has been since she was a toddler. And so I saw her then running into the same problem that I had. And I was like, oh, here we go. Like, this is where it starts, you know, even this young, just being like, having so many things that you can't even really see the things you like because there's so much clutter. And so people ask me a lot, like, do your kids, you know, use a color card too? And for the most part, they do. Like every once in a while, like we got a, every once in a while, no. Like we got a really great like coat that was like North Face coat in a hand-me-down bag that looked practically brand new. And I was like, it's not her color. She's wearing it anyway. This is an amazing coat. Like, you know what I mean? This is like a $130 coat right here. Not in her colors. That's fine. But for the most part, I have them in their colors for the exact same reasons that I wear mine, is because like it immediately pairs down their wardrobe, you know, and it helps them match things together really easily. It just makes it easy and seamless to kind of quickly match an outfit and go, you know? So it's just efficient for the kids as much as it is for the parents.
Yes, love that. And anything we can do to lessen that 35,000 number, we want to make sure that we do that. And I know that for the color analysis, as far as like, you know, you're sending, it depends on the package you get, I know, but, you know, sending your photo in and then it's several photos and different light and everything. And I want to make sure I give you time to tell everyone how they can connect with you. And maybe you can give just kind of a brief overview of like, what if someone was interested and they go in the show notes today and click on the link, what could they can expect kind of for the next steps?
Sure. So the website is colorguru.com. And if you get a package with us, like you said, Emily, we require 7 photos because everybody has seen how you can go outside and take a photo and then come inside and you look very different. And so we require 7 photos so that we can see what is consistent in your coloring throughout those different photos in different lighting and different situations. And then also we require one photo without makeup, minimum of 1 photo without makeup. And then we require that you answer a short questionnaire too. The whole thing takes under 10 minutes. So it's very quick, but we need to know things like, are you currently coloring your hair? What was your natural hair color as a child? What happens to your skin in the sun? Because these are all things that help us make sure that what we're seeing in the photos and what you're telling us matches so that we can do a really accurate analysis. And then it's pretty easy after that. After you submit your questionnaire, we take care of the rest, and you have your color card and your color radiance report, which is that 15-page report that you mentioned, where we actually show you your photos in our color test. So you can see side by side, you know, oh, wow, I do look a lot better in silver than in gold. Oh, wow, I do look a lot better, you know, in this pink as opposed to these peaches. And we kind of show you why we're putting you in the color palette that we're putting you in. And so that happens pretty quickly. You get your digital color cards and your color radiance report within 3 business days. And then we mail you laminated cards in the mail as well. Even every package gets the laminated cards. So that's nice to have with you in your purse or pocket when you go shopping.
Yes. And I recently did it for my makeup as well, because I replace my makeup every so often. And then I was taking advantage of some of the sales. So you get all the makeup you could ever want. And so it's been incredibly helpful for me. So thank you for what you do, Jeannie. Thank you for helping all of us overwhelmed moms. And I know besides your website, you're also active on Instagram. Is that correct?
Yes. On Instagram, we're at Your Color Guru.
Okay, perfect. So I will link to all that in the show notes. So thank you so much for coming on the show. It really was a pleasure talking to you. And I know everyone's going to go out and get their color cards as soon as they can.
Thank you, Emily. It was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
If you like today's podcast, here's what you can do. Just take 30 seconds to leave me a review. I know you're a busy mama. You're overwhelmed, in fact. But 30 seconds of your day make such an impact. I'll be blessed by your words. They'll definitely make my day. And who knows, you might be entered for this month's giveaway. In Apple Podcasts, scroll down to write a review. Thanks so much for your time. I'm so grateful for you.